Yeah, I survived the Bears. Those of you that logged onto the blog earlier in the week already know that. But Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Last Saturday night, I was telling you about going to the woods to spend some time at a friend's cabin where they were reporting to us that they were surrounded by bears. And this is how it broke down. It's about an hour and a half north and a little bit east of where I am in the Twin Cities. So up in a wooded part, but not exactly Glacier National Park or anything. And yet, when we got up to the cabin, called about an hour or so, and everything was fine. Got closer, called a few minutes before we got there to check on the directions to get to the cabin. And just then he said, okay, look out as you come in, because there are bears everywhere. And son of a gun, there were two bears in trees overlooking the cabin, and then another bear lurking behind the garage. He was kind of an adolescent bear. So I got a couple of photos of him. I put those up on the blog earlier this week. And I'll put another one up if you missed it here in just a minute when I get the blog up at coasttocoastam.com. So much fun, though, being out there and seeing these bears up close. And they seemed healthy enough. I mean, but they were definitely foraging for food. And it just so happened that this friend's cabin, which is on a fairly, you know, densely populated lake, but his particular piece of property connects to a nearby forest preserve. So they come over from there. And on more than a few occasions, I had to make noise just even going from the house to my car to get something out of my trunk. And they were there. They're just waiting for me to stumble, just waiting for me to trip over a rock or something and then pounce on me. It's fun. And I got about, I think the closest I got was about, yikes, about 10, 12 feet from one of the bears when we took a photo. And I'll put that up on my blog coming up in just a minute. He seemed very interested in foraging, so I moved quietly and tried not to smell like sausage. So we'll get to some crypto news coming up. Open lines this hour. Here's a question. Do ships have souls? And I mean that in the sense, you know, is there some sort of embodiment of the ship that is contained in more than just the sum of its mechanical and ironwork parts? I say ships, I'm kind of thinking, you know, big ships, like some of the big ocean-going vessels. But I suppose the same could be true for, you know, a pleasure craft. But I'm thinking more about, like, you know, whether it's battleships or merchant ships. Do ships have souls? You know, we often refer to ships using a female pronoun. We talk about the ship as being its own entity. Well, it's one of the things that our author coming up next hour had studied, and I can't wait to talk to him about that. Even before we get to True Tales of Modern Day Pirates, Daniel Sekulich, who wrote this new book called Terror on the Seas, spent time with both the victims of pirates and delved deep into where pirates are and what they're doing. He's got the stories to back it up. He recognizes and did a year ago, long before this became national news in this country, this book was already being printed. I mean, it probably missed that big, you know, story earlier in this year by just weeks. It's out now, and it explains everything. Terror on the Seas. Daniel Sekulich will talk about piracy. But before we get to that, we'll talk about the book he did just before this one, about the souls of ships, which I also find just totally trippy. That's coming up next hour. First, open lines and crypto news. And when we do, stand by. Details on the new crop circles, the possibility of some solar activity that will change life as we know it, and bugs that look like aliens. Next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Okay, so when I put the blog up here in just a few minutes at coasttocoastam.com, you'll see a photo of me and a bear. And the bear was licking the bottom of a deer feeder. They have a deer feeder on their property, but which they've emptied because it was attracting the bears. But the bear was licking the bottom of the deer feeder, and I'm about 10, maybe 12 feet from the bear. What you can't see in the photo is that the door to the cabin was just to my left. So I look braver, I think. I really am. And it's fun. You know, it's summer. So many wonderful things about summer. June's almost here. Here in Minnesota, there's been almost no rain. In fact, it's the driest it has been in any one month of May since the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, 1934, I think it is. So I hope you're getting some. And wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying summer activities, picnics, and all the fun stuff you can't do that much through the rest of the year. Also, coming up tomorrow night, I'm going to go on a road trip. I'm going to see Spinal Tap in Milwaukee with their special opening act, The Folksmen. That should rock. I'm crossing my fingers that Spinal Tap will perform their famous Stonehenge song. Speaking of mysterious England, there was a new crop circle reported on May 25th. We put a link up on our webpage at coasttocoastam.com. It's a Daily Mail story, but it's quite an intricate crop circle. You'll see it at the website. Also, it was the hottest day of the year so far in England, 81 degrees. That was a spike. Pretty warm here in North America. NASA and NOAA have been keeping an eye on solar activity. And I'll put a link up on my blog about this story. An international panel of experts led by NOAA and sponsored by NASA has released a new prediction for the next solar cycle. Solar cycle 24 will peak, they say, in May of 2013 with a below average number of sunspots. And then they go on to add this. Even a below average cycle is capable of producing severe space weather. That, according to the leading scientist, the Great Geomagnetic Storm of 1859, for example, occurred during a solar cycle about the same size that we're predicting for 2013. Now, these are the folks from NOAA. They said the 1859 storm, known as the Carrington event, after the astronomer Richard Carrington, who witnessed the instigating solar flare, electrified transmission cables, set fires in telegraph offices, produced northern lights so bright that people could read newspapers by the red and green glow. A recent report by the National Academy of Sciences found that if a similar storm as the 1859 Carrington event were to occur today, it would cause $1 to $2 trillion in damages to society's high-tech infrastructure and require 4 to 10 years for complete recovery. Now, if you look at that for comparison, Hurricane Katrina, you know, quote-unquote, only caused $80 to $125 billion in damage. So you're looking up to $2 trillion in damages? If there is a giant threat from space, maybe the whales can save us like they did in Star Trek. Was it Star Trek V? The voyage home? Maybe the whales might be just as easy to find as George and Gracie. Science Daily reports this. For the very first time in New York coastal waters, the voices of singing blue whales have been positively identified. Acoustic experts working with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation confirmed that the voice of a singing blue whale was tracked about 70 miles off of Long Island. That was just earlier this year, as the whale swam slowly from east to west. At the same time, a second blue whale was heard singing offshore in the far distance. These endangered blue whales are the largest animals ever to have lived on this planet, and their voices can travel across an ocean. It's just amazing to hear one singing out there on New York's ocean stage, only tens of miles from, you know, from Carnegie Hall and Broadway, said Christopher Clark, director of Cornell's science research program. And even more amazing was the song that the researchers recorded that the blue whale was singing, Memories from Cats. No, maybe not. There may be some sonar images, though, of Nessie that have popped up from an unusual source. We've linked that at coasttocoastam.com. And have you seen this? A website called Environmental Graffiti has a photo series of insects that look like aliens, and it's so Men in Black. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'll put the link up on my blog here in just a second. And by the way, when you see the picture of the alien's face on one of these bugs, it's actually not the caterpillar's face. It's his hind end that has the image of the of the space alien, which gives me a great idea for a tattoo. But anyway, I'll put that up on the blog and you'll see what I'm talking about at coasttocoastam.com. Let's do some open lines. Go ahead and grab some now. We'll take them to the bottom of the hour, and then we'll do a whole half hour of them after that. And then it's Terror on the Seas. Daniel Sekulich is the author of this book, which accounts for true tales of modern-day pirates. He traveled around the world. He met with people who had both been victims of, and with incredible courage, it got to the true story of what pirates were up to long before the pirates attacked that American vessel that was eventually rescued by the U.S. Navy. He was sounding the alarm on pirates. He was telling the story about what's going on. It just hadn't come out yet. I mean, he put it in print. He was just waiting for publication day. The book is out now. It's such a great read. Plus, we'll talk about his other book, which attempts to find out whether the giant ships of the sea have souls. And we'll get to that. I think that'll probably be the first couple of questions I will ask him. I linked the blog up at coasttocoastam.com. Let's start with Jonathan in Fort Worth, Texas on Coast to Coast. Jonathan?
Hey, Ian.
Now, you got open lines. You're the first one in. Where do you want to take us?
Well, you know, I've been wondering, whatever happened to that the Stan Romanek video? You know, I kept hearing about it, and last I heard it was supposed to be in a documentary at the end of 2008, but I never heard or saw the documentary, and I just haven't heard anything of it. I didn't know if you knew anything or anyone.
I don't. That's a really good question. You know what? It sometimes happens. Let me suss around or check my email here real quickly during the break at the bottom of the hour, and I might be able to find out more. I know I'm missing something here. Jason, who's in Newport, Rhode Island let me get to Brooke, who's east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Brooke.
Thank you for taking my call, Ian. I have another New York story for you. Last week, about an hour before your show started, ABC News reported that hundreds of bees descended on several stores in Union Square in New York. And I actually tried to call into you last Saturday, but it was very difficult getting through, so I finally was able to get through today. So I don't know if you care to download the story off ABC.
I saw the story. It was a very interesting story about how a guy who acted heroically, didn't he? People were trying to get the bees off the store. I saw a little bit about this anyway. You want to tell the story?
There was one guy there that I think was a beekeeper.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. And what they had just on that particular store. I mean, that was the weird part about it. It was just that one store.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of store it was because I was taken aback by the story. Do you by any chance know what kind of store this was? I mean, I thought the whole thing was bizarre.
No, it is bizarre. You know what? And I can't remember all of it, but I did see it because it was earlier in the week. So thanks for that. I'm glad you told me. And I think that's a great thing. I'm sorry that we didn't have an open line for you when you called in that time, too, because I always love getting those stories that are just breaking, as it were. First-time caller line, Jason, who's there on first-time? Let's say John in Colorado on Coast to Coast. John? John, is that you?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I just thought that the souls of ships thing was very interesting. I'd read somewhere there was a boat, and these people are heading towards this reef, and the boat seemed to, like, steer them away from it by itself.
Oh, really? See,
it's very interesting.
I will bring that up with the author, Daniel Sekulich, when we talk to him coming up next hour. Dave is in Boston. We're doing some open lines before our guest, the author of Terror on the Seas. He also wrote a book about ships having souls. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good. Boston, formerly one of the piracy capitals of the world.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's mentioned in his book that that piracy, or at least privateering, was big business in Boston.
Didn't know that. Well, about 5 years ago, a bunch of friends, we went out, we were in a boat up off of Salisbury, Mass. And we're heading out. We're out about, I don't know, a mile or two. And we see a big swell, something's going on, and it's a whale. And we're checking it out.
How big a ship were you in?
We're in a boat, like a 30, 27 foot.
Okay, that's fine. Just checking. Okay.
So, anyways, it's a whale, and it swims around us, goes around, comes behind us, comes up. It's just kind of like messing with us, And all of a sudden, it dives out of the water. And where I was standing, it was perfect. It comes up out of the water, turns, kind of rolls, and its eyeball was looking right at me. It was unbelievable. I was about 30 feet from it. It was unbelievable. This whale was just looking right at me.
Now, do you happen to know what kind of whale it was?
I don't. I can't think of the,
but it breached the water. It breached. So was it a humpback? Could it have been? Because if it's coming out of the water like that, especially.
Yeah.
I wonder whether you would have. But I mean, I guess it could have been a lot of different whales. But those are the ones I've seen.
They have whale watches out there.
Right.
Very Gloucester. Yeah. And I don't know the particular kind of whale it was. Could have been a humpback, but it was.
It almost wouldn't. Almost wouldn't matter if it's staring at you like that. If it's eyeballing you like that, it could be a pilot whale and it would still be freaky. Thanks. Jack is in Southern California on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines. Jack, where do you want to take us?
Chemtrails, Ian.
Okay.
Chemtrails.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, oh, okay. We're just out here in Southern California. We're just getting sprayed like insects. It is absolutely unbelievable. Even on the clear days now, and the wind, what I've noticed is, first of all, they've stopped the rain. There's no doubt about that. I've observed it for the last 3 years religiously. I mean, I'm not preoccupied by it, but I will say this, that every time we have a forecast for rain, they intensify their spraying, and they either stop the rain altogether, they drastically diminish it. Now they're creating a lot of winds during the day, on sunny days. When the wind is blowing onshore, I've seen it blowing 20 knots easy, the Palos Verdes, and onshore, and it's quote-unquote clear out. And I say, in quotes, because clear anymore around here, even when the wind's blowing, there's a massive haze over everything. You can look at the Palos Verdes Peninsula, and it's covered in one big blanket of haze with an onshore wind. And it's supposed to be crystal clear. They're blowing this stuff in off the coast. We're just getting slammed. There hasn't been any sun in the last 4 days.
All right. Well, that's interesting. No, and have you contacted? Go ahead.
Contacted anybody?
I'm not a big chemtrail guy. I know a lot of pilots, let me finish that thought, Jack. I've been following the story for a long time, but I have so many friends who are pilots, and I talk to them about it all the time. And for them, they don't see the story that you see. So
it's not a story that I see. It's what I'm seeing with my own eyes and what other people
I understand what you see.
I understand. Let me tell you what I'm seeing.
I heard what you're saying. I got it. Jack, I'm sorry. I got a bunch of.
You just want to cut me off because you don't want to hear about what the truth is happening out here. It is really devastating.
Jack.
They're making a lot of people sick. A lot.
Jack, hang on. I'm not cutting. You've had 2.5 minutes. I got a bunch of other callers. That's a lot of time. And I don't see an end to the phone call. So I appreciate your comments. You're welcome to, call in anytime on open lines. But open lines also means other people get a chance too. So that's why I move on. Some other people have been waiting just as long as you to get on the air. Michael is in Santa Ana, California, on Coast to Coast.
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
All right, Michael, where are you going to take us?
I actually, last Sunday morning, I woke up in my bedroom and I saw three little people behind my myself in the wall.
You saw three little people behind?
Yeah, they were between my mattress, myself, and the wall. I could see them in a reflection on my television, which I was facing in front of. And I know that I was awake because the reflection of my blinds were coming through the television reflection.
Right.
And I don't know if they were they're like real small people, kind of like the Snow White with the Seven Dwarfs.
Now, you only saw them in the reflection. You couldn't
of the
see
television
them.
Behind of the television. Which was behind
right.
me.
Right.
They were walking against the wall behind my body. They were below the window because I could see the reflection of my blinds, the sun coming through.
Yeah.
The TV was off. I just woke up. It was about 15 to 30 seconds. And the unusual thing about it is I was laying down, my hands stretched out above my head on the pillow. And one of them, the leader, there were three of them. One was more like a leader. The other one, the other two were dancing around. They looked pretty happy, actually. I felt something touch me.
Well, be careful where those little people touch you. But, heck, way interesting. This is what Open Lines is about. Your chance to check in. We'll do it next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Got a couple of the wildcard lines open if you want to grab them right now. I'd love to have you. It's True Tales of Modern Pirates coming up after the top of the hour. Also, we'll talk with Daniel Sekulich about his previous book about the ships and their souls. These large ships out on the open water, fascinated by that idea and his research on it. I mean, he actually went out to try to get to the bottom of it. Could it be that these big ocean-going titans have souls? If so, where in the ship is the soul of the ship? I know that sounds a little kooky for some people, but I happen to think sometimes that there's a character, that there's a spirit that exists within even inanimate objects. Which, like a house sometimes, it remains consistent despite who's living there. There are houses like this where you take, the inhabitants of the house out, put a whole new family in there, and they'll report that the house had the same quality, the same soul to it as the previous owners did. And they'd never heard how the, other occupants had described the house before. Same thing with ships. Lots of different things, I think, qualify under that. I don't know why it's true, but we'll look into that coming up next hour just for giggles to get us started on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines, where are you going to take us? We'll find out next. Do have the blog up if you want to see photos of the bears, how close I got to the bears, plus the there's a couple of interesting stories like the alien bugs, caterpillars that look like aliens. And I put the link up in one of those photos, too, at the blog if you go to coasttocoastam.com. Where are you going to take us? We'll find out next. This is Ian Punnett. Well, let's get back to open lines on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a bunch of them. We'll start with Aaron in Ashland, Kentucky on Coast to Coast AM. Aaron?
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
What part of Kentucky is Ashland in?
It's just... around Cincinnati area, Cincinnati, okay. Ohio area.
Right.
But I work on a towboat out on there.
Does your ship have a soul? Does your ship have a soul?
I don't know about that, but she's good to me.
I push
barges up and down the river. She's been pretty good to me. So, but anyway, that's the first time I called in, and I really like your old show, and I appreciate it. So. I had a question. A couple of months ago, George was doing a lines there, and I don't know if you heard this one guy call in or not, but he was talking about he worked in the Army, and he had a videotape of Hugh Hefner and Eisenhower, I believe. And he said that they were inside of this big warehouse, and it had a bunch of alien bodies in there, and they were all, it was like an old real film, supposedly. And I was just wondering if you at all had ever followed up on that or not.
No. Well, that's the problem, since we don't trace your calls as much as we might like to sometimes. We really depend on whether that person's going to follow through and send us that film. I haven't heard anything about it since then, so I can only imagine either the person, if they have what they have, they decided that it was something they would try to monetize, so they may be shopping it, and we haven't heard about it because we don't buy stuff, or that they don't have what they have, and they just were, going off of a fantasy or something, and they just felt like talking. If they've got what they've got, we're still open. And obviously, Aaron, you're a testament to the fact that there's still interest in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounded really neat, and that sounded like some pretty solid proof, that if he really did have this old 19, 30s or 40s reel. You know what I mean? It just sounded kind of neat.
It would be the story of the century. It would be the story of this and any other century. Honestly, if he had it, I mean, it's a cool enough of a story of Eisenhower and Hugh Hefner hanging together, which I didn't know they did a lot of. So, I mean, if he's got film of Dwight Eisenhower and Hugh Hefner watching women play badminton in the grotto, that would be a story. Didn't even have to have aliens in the background, but heck, that would be interesting. Brandon, it's in California, first time caller line on Coast to Coast. Brandon,
hey, how you doing?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
In our high-tech age of high-definition television that's live, high-definition radio, why is it that the communications lines that the astronauts use sound so horrible when we see it on TV?
I don't know. That's a really good point. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I mean, other than they're way out of space and they're outside of our atmosphere and they may be more susceptible to solar activity or whatever. I don't know. It's a really good question. It hasn't improved much, has it? I mean,
it just seems like it's back when it was, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
It still sounds the same.
Yeah, still sounds like they're calling in on a CB radio, doesn't it?
Exactly. With all this money pumping into the space program, you'd think they'd be able to bump up the mics a little bit or something.
I wonder if it sounded better. I wonder if it sounded super crystal clear. I wonder whether they would be accused more often of faking the space program.
Yeah. I don't know.
I
understand that they're enclosed in a spacesuit and it'd be like talking to someone on your cell phone in the bathroom kind of deal. But
right.
At the same time, you'd think they'd be able to put some kind of filter on that to at least increase the clarity a little bit, because it just sounds horrible.
No, I think that's a really good point. And I just want to take this moment to say, I hope nobody calls me from a cell phone in the bathroom. I hate that. I hate when I'm talking to somebody and I realize they're in the bathroom. John is in Colorado on Coast to Coast AM. John?
Hey, Ian.
Hey, open lines. Hey. Where are you going to take us?
Man, I'm going to take you to an old hag that I experienced with.
And by that, you don't mean my mother-in-law. But you mean the classic, right, or yours. You mean the classic, of the wives' tale, old hag type stories.
Yes, that sits on your chest and won't let you breathe and everything. Yeah, it happened to me like 3 weeks ago, man. Freaked me out so bad, wasn't even funny.
Where were you?
I was at home laying in my bed and just trying to get some sleep. And, I drifted off, and all of a sudden I'm, like, gasping for air, and I just felt this presence on my chest.
Yeah. And you opened your eyes?
Opened my eyes, tried to scream, and nothing came out.
Did you see anything?
No, man, it's just, like, you can feel that presence. You know what I mean?
No, I know, but some people see stuff. That's what I was asking. Very interesting. No. Well, I am sorry about that. I hope that never happens to you again. I've heard stories about the old hag. In fact, in a class I had, which I'm not saying it is only this, but it was a folklore class, but they went into the great psychology of this, and especially because it's mostly men who are affected by what they call the old hag. And frequently, oddly enough, we're back to, again, men at sea. But I won't get into that because Mike is hanging on in Tampa on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Yes, Mr. Ian. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. Where are you going to take us?
Okay, I have a little bit of a story for you.
Okay.
I am a WWE contracted wrestler.
Okay.
I am touring with them next month, but they're not putting me on TV just yet. A couple days ago, the upper management asked me and approached me on what I think my gimmick should be. I told them that I wanted to call myself the Maitreya, and when I'm in the ring, I'm like a sweet wrestler, but when I'm outside of the ring, I'm going around teaching people how to do things a better way. So I wanted to ask you, do you think I'm going to get into some hot water or any kind of bad publicity from the Coast to Coast audience?
Not from me, but that's interesting. I think that's actually a really interesting way of sort of reinterpreting the Maitreya persona. I'm assuming you'd be a villain, right?
In the I'd be a bad guy, yes.
Right, but see, that also gives you a chance of redemption.
How so?
Well, I mean, in the aren't you always looking for, in a storyline, for a character, a chance maybe to flip from being a bad one to a good one?
Indeed.
So I think that anytime you're taking on the on a pole, like being on the evil side of the pole, you have that opportunity to flip and through some redemptive act or something like that, the, for you to continue, you know, being a pole, but this time you might flip over to the good side. I don't know quite how you do that, but.
So you think I'm going to be successful?
Oh, yeah. I think that sounds great. I have a friend. He's known as Spider Baby. He's Tommy the Spider Baby Saturday. And so go take a look sometime if you ever get a chance to. He's a good time. And I think he's working the heavy circuit, too. He loves being the villain. I think all the fun is being in the villain, if you ask me. But Catherine in Morro Bay, California, on Coast to Coast. Catherine?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Ann. I want to tell a story that you had. There was a guest on a couple of weeks ago that he was went to Puerto Rico and was hearing all kinds of stories about chupacabras and weird things down there. That when they disappeared, there was a circle of glitter that went up in the air. I saw one of those in Norwalk, California. In around 1974.
So that was before the whole chupacabra thing really took on a popular.
Right. And my girlfriend and I saw it. But my girlfriend had gone out. I was babysitting that night, and I dropped my girlfriend off at the club because she wanted to go to the club. So I dropped her off up there and took the kids out for ice cream. Then we went home and watched movies and played board games. Then her older daughter came home and took care of the kids, and I went back to pick her up from the club. And as we were and I was driving her truck, and it was one of those real big, huge trucks. And I saw coming from the outside between two houses this, it looked like a Great Dane. It looked like a big dog running, tan-colored, running towards the street. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to hit that dog. And when it got to the curb, it changed its shape to look like a kangaroo with that big hind leg, the kangaroo, and it leaped right into the street, and I slammed on the brakes, and I thought I hit it, and then we saw glitter just fly up into the air.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It was really strange, but this man, I can't find him right now on the what day he was on, but he was went down to Puerto Rico, and he was talking to a lot of people down there, and that's what they saw.
Oh, that, about the glitter?
About the glitter.
Wow, that's a unique testimony to offer, and I'm hoping then that just by the same vehicle that you heard him on Coast to Coast AM, he will hear about you as well. I saw a video tonight. It's not the same. It's not as cool as Catherine's story, but have you seen the video that's on the web already of the cop who's driving along and a deer jumps over his hood? You can see it on the cop's dash cam with the cop's in motion, and the deer clears the hood, never once puts a hoof down, and you can see it jumping from just off to the left of the upper, of the left hand, of the left front quarter panel. It jumps up and jumps right out of into frame and then out of frame again on the other side. It's amazing, but no glitter at the end of that, which is very cool. David's in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, on Coast to Coast AM. David? David, that would be you if you got the radio off in the background. 3, 2, no, he missed it. All right, so let me get to, it's always better to get that radio off. Don't listen to the radio. The radio lies. And there's a time lag. We're in the future. Hey, Robert?
Yes.
Robertson, Wildcard Line, Joplin, Missouri, on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Robert.
Good evening, Deacon Ian.
Thank you.
I had a comment and a question.
Sure.
My comment is, I know there's a lot of people out there that have been turned off by organized religion.
Sure.
And if they're, I searched the gambit, and I just like to say if they're looking, give the Episcopal Church a try.
Mm.
And I wanted to ask you a question. I can't find in the Bible anywhere that it says there's going to be a rapture. I wanted to ask you if you believe in a rapture, and if you believe that we're in end times, and I'll listen off the air. Peace be with you.
All right, well, and also with you. Thank you. It reminds me, actually, tomorrow's my last Sunday at my old call. I'm being sent to a new church in St. Paul. So I'm preaching in the morning, and I suddenly remembered I better go back and polish up the sermon a little bit. The rapture concept, right? The way we talk about the rapture, that is a fairly new idea. That is, it's sort of based on scripture, on somebody's interpretation of scripture, but there is nothing that is written in the way that people talk about the rapture that's actually in the Bible. So, you know, it is a matter of faith for some people and how they look at it, and that's fine. I know lots of people that do. In fact, I was hosting a symposium, I guess. It was a forum, not quite a debate, but it was an interesting talk at a local religious college that was looking to try to come up with the difference between evolution and creation as it pertains to the Grand Canyon. And they had a PhD there, a guy, a very, you know, smart guy, knows a lot about rocks. And he was making the argument that the Grand Canyon was created just the way that it is, that there was no evolution, that the Earth is only no more than 10,000 years old. And then they had a naturalist, a guy who is a science teacher, and he was making the argument for evolution. So I don't know. It was an interesting debate. But in the end, it still comes down to is a lot of the things that people say the Bible supports. You know, it's just a matter of how you look at what those Bible verses say. And if you see the rapture in the book of Revelation, it'll be there. And if you didn't know to look for it, Bible scholars would say it wasn't there. Michael's in Gulfport, Mississippi on Coast to Coast AM. Michael?
Ian.
Hey, where are you?
I've got to tell you, buddy, I just love to hear you talk religion. If there was some way that you could mesh a little bit of the topics you discuss on this program and have your own program discussing religion, it would be right up there with the ratings of Coast to Coast.
Well, so, you're nice to say that.
Have to say I'm like a baseball umpire. I call them to see them, but I just love your in-depth view of religion, and it would just be phenomenal, I think, the call-ins you would get to discuss. You could start off with the Grand Canyon. And,
yeah.
That would be a good program to start off with. What I called you for is I have a real deep sorrow for our country.
Okay.
And where we're headed.
Right.
The country's, I guess, attitude or psyche. I have watched this demise of our economy and our country now coming for about 3-4 years now as it slowly progresses. And my worry is, my real concern for my fellow American is how they're going to handle this. I'm going to be 61 here in a couple of months, and my life has really taken a real deep slide, say, in about the last 2 years. But the one thing I learned about life is I've learned to live with life instead of life living for me.
I like the sound of that.
Well, what it simply means is, you know, all these people, like, I knew it was going to happen eventually. Instead of three classes, we were going to have, like, subclasses of each class. Like, you got the middle class, now you got the upper middle class.
Right. We've had those for a while. But we only had a few more seconds here. Well, I'm sorry of what's happened to you and that you've been in a tough spot. And
I'm making it. I'm just concerned fellow man when they start losing their prized possessions and how they're going to deal with it.
Well, you know what? Sometimes losing our prized possessions is just what we need to be reminded of what really matters. And, you know, and maybe that's a thought for another night because we're out of time for this hour for open lines. But everything is cyclical, okay? So if we're in a down cycle, let's not lose faith in this country yet. I believe she can still pull it out of the dive. Coming up next hour, Terror on the Seas, and Do Ships Have Souls on Coast to Coast.